Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
I got to ask you, think about what's going on in the world right now. And as a matter of fact, what's going on in your world? There's that external world out there. And then there's your internal world as we react to or maybe respond to what's going on out there. Well, it's pretty scary at times, isn't it? And both out there and what we're feeling on the inside. Now, back in September of this last year, Pastor Dreyer and I sat down and we were talking about, hey, what's the theme going to be for the new year? 2020 vision. And then said, hey, Kelly, get us a nice graphic. And Kelly, Shannon kind of collaborated and we got that incredible graphic there to what's going on in 2020. Now, we figured that by the time we're halfway through the year 2020, we would all be living the dream. You see, the stock market, the economy would continue to be going like that, and our nation would become more unified. Everybody would be happy. We'd be conquering more diseases. The cure for cancer would just about be here. And then 2020, the real 2020, really happened. COVID-19. How many of you already having cabin fever? Well, it's just really a difficult kind of a thing navigating our way through that. Father's Day for me this year is going to be, you know, FaceTime at best. Wow. And then we had thought that we'd been making so much progress in the area of racial harmony. We found when the Band-Aid is pulled off, it was still festering inside there pretty deeply. And so we've got a lot of political unrest and political division just this weekend in Tulsa. You know, indicates, you know, there's some pretty hot topics out there and some issues that people get really pretty upset with each other about. So if ever, folks, if ever we needed a word of encouragement from Jesus, now is the time. If ever we needed a word from Jesus that would help us to turn this upside-down world right side up in our experience, now is that time. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus covers just about every conceivable issue, and he does it with authority. Spoke as one having authority. And he gives us the principle of 2020 vision, the right view, the view from that mountain where the air is clear and you can see things as they really are. What did Jesus talk about? Well, authentic blessedness, not fake blessedness, real righteousness. How about being salt and light out there in that world that is bland, you know, without the salt, and is dark without the light? How about going into the Ten Commandments and taking us deeper than just a surface outward observance of the commandments and getting down deep into our motivation? And then in that context, he talks about things like dealing with anger and lust and marriage and the use of our words. How about treating our enemies or people that want to be our enemies? How about right attitudes about things like prayer and fasting and giving? How about anxiety, judging others, and he calls us to a trust in the wonderful provisions of a heavenly Father who wants to dote over us and loves us so much. He talks about everything except how to fix your computer when it crashes. Well, maybe he even talks about that a little bit too, because didn't you see in the Bible, you know, how do you avoid that kind of frustration? It says, Jesus saves. Okay, go and do thou likewise. Now, if Jesus taught about these things, then they must be important. And he is that voice from heaven that clues us in about how the spiritual universe really works. You know, there are there are principles in the physical universe. There are laws, like the law of gravity. But there are also in the spiritual universe, there are certain principles that Jesus talks about. There are spiritual laws that go deeper, and they govern for us our thinking, our speaking, our doing, and they govern our relationship with God. And from that mount, we want to see clearly. But it's a matter, it's not so much what you see from there as how you see things. Now, if we are to see things as Jesus did, we need to have that cross-eyed view. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But you see, everything that we look at, we have to look through a particular lens. For the Christian, the one lens through which we can see everything clearly and in tune with what the plan and the heart of God is all about, that is looking at it through the cross, looking at everything through the completed atoning work of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to suffer for our sins and then rise again from the dead. And then Jesus, with that cross-eyed view, wraps it all up together and he says, okay, now that you know, here are your choices. As a matter of fact, effective parenting lays out before the kids, okay, let's clarify. What are your choices? What are your choices? And this is what Jesus does. And he says, there's a choice. You can choose your gate. And he also says, you can choose your foundation. All this from the Sermon on the Mount. Choose your gate. What path are you going to follow in your life? You see, Jesus talks about two gates that are out there. One gate leads to life. The other gate leads to destruction. But you know what? And it leads to that path that leads to destruction, the path of life, choice between those two. But if you don't care where you're going, then just about any path is going to do. But here's what Jesus says. Let's get it directly from him. Matthew 7:13, he said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way easy that leads to destruction. And as you go along the path of life, number one, you want to be in the right lane, okay? And then you also want to be in that one when you come to the fork in the road. Where are you going to go? Well, you know, Yogi Berra, the baseball player, said, when you come to the fork in the road, just take it. Well, when you're driving along an expressway, okay, you don't want to get in the correct lane because there are going to be some signs. This way to your destination, you know, destination A, that way to destination B. You got to know where you want to go, and then be in that right lane, go into that right path, go through the right gate to get there. Now, the path to destruction, you know, there's that gate, and it doesn't say destruction. It says, oh, something fun, something entertaining, something really, really cool right here. Yeah, go in here for that good stuff. And you take that. But that's the path to destruction. Usually looks attractive. Now, the narrow gate, the one that leads in the path of life, typically is narrower, more winding and twisting and bumpier and more full of potholes, looks more arduous. It is the one that is less traveled and is uphill all the way. Now, the question is, which one are you going to take? Yeah. The more attractive one or the one that is going to lead to life. Because you see, we're talking about gates. Heaven is a gated community. Now, that gate slammed shut in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they wanted to be as God themselves. So we're going to do our own thing. No one's going to tell me how to live my life. And, you know, that arrogance that we sometimes kind of play around with ourselves, and I know you've seen it out there, and sometimes you've seen it in here. That's that gated community, but then Jesus came along to reopen the gate. The reopening is not last week when we opened those doors on Saturday night and Sunday morning and said, hey, you guys come on in, we're reopening. No, the real reopening of the gate came when Jesus Christ came into this world, died on the cross, and rose again to open up the gate so we can go on that path of life. And Jesus once said, he says, I am the gate. You have to enter through me. So how many gates are there? Well, it really boils down to only two gates. There is that one. Jesus is that gate. He opens to that path of life. And Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the gate. There's one God. There is no other. There is one name given us under heaven by which we might be saved. There is only one bridge against that death, that goes over that death chasm and leads us on that path of life. The attractive gate, well, it's a little bit like, you know, think of a Roadrunner cartoon, and there's Wile E. Coyote, and, you know, chasing after the Roadrunner, and there are two gates. Which doors are you going to go? You know, pick your door. And there's one that looks so cool, so attractive, and he opens up that gate, and he's, you know, zoom, and he goes, but there's nothing there, and, you know, goes down over the cliff. That's where that gate will lead us. So the question is, which gate are you entering? Because in one sense, even for the Christian, even for the child of God, every day we're faced with, which gate are you going to take? What kind of decision are you going to make? What kind of path are you going to follow? Whose voice are you going to hear? Is it going to be your own voice that says, No, or are you going to follow, what does Jesus say? What does the Word of God say? Which one? So Jesus addresses that, and he gives us another one, another kind of a metaphor, parable, and that is, we'll call it the rock and the sand. That's another set of choices, and that's the foundation. So not only we are to choose our gate, now we choose our foundation. What is your foundation? Now, there was a lady in Wheaton, Illinois, who made a little hobby of picking up these ridiculous product warnings, and one of them was on a Duraflame fireplace log, and it said, caution, risk of fire. And then on a Batman costume, warning, cape does not enable user to fly. On a bottle of hair coloring, warning, do not use this as an ice cream topping. One of those cardboard items, you know, it has the foil on both sides. You stick it in your car in the hot sun, you know, to protect the inside. It says, do not drive with sunshield in place. How about this one? This product, a portable stroller. Caution. Remove infant before folding for storage. Okay, got that, Randy? Okay, now, the distinction between wisdom and foolishness is often way too obvious. The problem is attitude. You know, hey, I just want to do what I want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. And that's what the foolish person, how he approaches it. And if you hear someone saying, especially when they're around electricity, hey, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Guys, I don't know what I'm doing unless I am doing what God is doing. The foolish man, the wise man. Now, this is what Jesus said. Let's quote him again. Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then he goes on, so what happens then? Well, the storm comes up. Okay, the rains come down. The floods come up. The wind beats against that house. And it stays. It's firm, you know, because it's anchored deep in the rock. What a foundation that is. Now, the contrast. What does the foolish man do? Well, he's looking for a place to build his house too, but he goes the easy way and he puts it on the sand. And what happens is that the same, you know, the storms of life, they always come, don't they? It's not if they ever come into your life. It's when they come. You don't know when a 2020 is going to be, you know, aimed right at us. Or when you think you see the light in the tunnel, it's a freight train coming right at you. Okay, so there is the foolish man built his house on the sand. Same thing happens. Rain comes down, floods come up. And the winds beat against that house, and the house goes down flat. Well, what's the lesson here for us? The lesson is we have to ask that question. Where are we anchored? And that's it's really a day-by-day-by-day solution. See, okay, if I'm talking about just entering into salvation, I'd be preaching to the choir. But if we're talking about what are you going to do on an everyday basis? How do you make your decisions? Why do you say what you say? What do you think what you think? What are you founded on? Where is your foundation? You see, it doesn't matter where the foundation is at sometimes when everything's going nice in life. Okay, so you grow up in a nice family, got great parents, and then you go to school and you get good grades, you study hard, you do everything right, and maybe even go to university, get your degree, get a job, and then you're going to get a spouse, and then you're going to get a mortgage, and then you're going to pay off your student loans, and you're going to have kids, and you're going, you know, but everything's going fine, and you even have a 401k. Wow, hey, what could go wrong? The economy is great. Then 2020 happens. So that's the storm that comes along in your house. Have you ever had that? You know, things are going along, and then all of a sudden, what happened? How come everything's going a little bit nuts around here? Inevitable. That is going to happen. So where do you intentionally this day sink your roots? Where are you putting your foundation for this day? Because if you miss today, and then you're going to probably miss tomorrow, and then pretty soon, you know, it's just not going to be working right. So if your life is based on anything less than hearing the words of Jesus and doing them, your house can fall. Because Jesus doesn't say, whoever hears these words of mine is like the one who built the house on the rock. Because the guy who built the house on the sand hears the words of Jesus also. The difference is in the doing, the faith, the application, the connection between that, what Jesus said, and your own life. Day by day by day, you're going to have the choice. That gate or that gate, that path or that path. Where am I building my house today? When you get up in the morning, you know, and maybe you don't go out of the door to work anymore, but whatever it is that you are to do. So if you're not building on the rock, you're building on some kind of a fault line, and inevitably something bad is going to be happening. So what's the rock? And you build it on Jesus, what he says, and then you do it, to act upon it. And then your piers are down into something solid. Then you can look at life in a cross-eyed fashion because you're visualizing everything through the lens of the cross, the filter of the cross. Now, let's just take a look at the sand problem. Now, this is the person, the sand problem is with the person who hears the words of Jesus but then doesn't do it. Okay, the S is the person who goes to the Bible like a shopper. Oh, hey, that'll make me look good. Hey, I like that. And you kind of pick and you select because you know what? You realize the Bible, it's got some yucky parts, some not very fun parts, you know, like take up your cross daily, follow me, you know, deny yourself. I'll shop around for a better verse today. So the shopper goes, and then sometimes for the A, the shopper goes to ask.com. You know, the Bible as ask.com. It's not with the intention of going to the Bible to hear the words of Jesus so that I can do them. So I'm looking for, you know, the next directive for my life. But no, I'm just curious. Yeah, I go to ask.com. You know, we're sitting around and we're talking about some things. Well, I don't know. Well, let's ask. So we go to ask.com. But and don't do that with the Bible. You go to the Bible. You ask with the intention of obedience. Obedience. Faith and obedience. The N, well, let's put the word narcotic in there because that's when we go to the Bible as a kind of a Prozac or some kind of a Valium to temporarily ease our pain, relax us just enough so we can get on with the bad stuff of life, just to feel better for a little bit. that's an abuse of the word. What about the D? We're going to go to the ding ding for D. Ding ding. You know, you put your coin in the in that machine. You know, this is the pinball machine, and it's just going to bounce around. And so it's like going to the Bible without any context. Just you know, flitting here, flitting there a little bit, never stopping, without context, turning and twisting all around. And when we do that, we're building on the sand. So we want to have a better approach, and this is the rock approach. Because you see, the Bible and the words of Jesus are intended to connect us to Jesus. It's God's letter to help us know him better. And so that's what we need to be doing, because it gives us the story of our origin and our destiny. Wow. The complete whole thing. And it then shows us between those two points how to navigate in a correct kind of a way with a commitment, sold out, become fully devoted followers of Jesus. This is the rock approach. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them is like the one who built on the rock. So what happens? The floods, or the rains come down, floods come up, the storms, and it stands there firm. So it depends on hearing and then applying, believing, doing the word. Don't be hearers only, but doers of the word. Put it to good use. And what Jesus says, do it. Just do it. Okay, so rock. We've got to have something that goes with rock. R, that's remember. Remember the acts of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, just who he is and what he has done. Yeah, that's having a cross-eyed view. And that remember, everything is filtered through his saving act on the cross. Then you go to O, having that first part in place, you obey. When you go to the word, it's with the desire not just to hear, but then to obey the word, to follow. Because the word is always challenging us to something else. You know, pointing out somebody we ought to be loving that we're not loving. Some sin we need to repent of. Some prayer that we need to be offering before the Lord. Walking in that sense of, you know, I am submitted as a humble servant of the word of God. Then the C is we've got then to commit. But there's another C that goes with that. If you got enough room in your blank, commit to consistency. To consistency. Not just a here and there kind of a, okay, I did that, and I'm done for the week. But commit to consistency. And then K goes right with that. Keep at it. Keep on going. Keep your eye on the goal. So every day we're faced with choices, right? Which gate, which path, which foundation? And may the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, lead us. And it's just important to lay yourself out before the Lord. Open your heart, open your mind, and to say, Lord, I sincerely want you to illuminate me, to guide me. I'm trusting in the salvation that you have given me, and I've received it by faith in Jesus Christ. But now, Lord, I really want to seriously do that act of surrender to you. And we put it before him. So let's pray. Oh, dear Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us in Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has taught us on the Sermon on the Mount. We thank you for everything that Jesus did to secure, to purchase by salvation, everything that the Holy Spirit is doing to confirm that salvation in me and to keep me on the right path. Lord, right now, I just want to affirm to consistency, to walking before you, to obedience, to keeping at it, Lord. I want to affirm that faith that your Holy Spirit has brought inside of me, that I may be a faithful follower, and that my house, my whole life, may be built upon a foundation that is secure, and that I may be always walking on the path that you want me to walk on. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.